If you would, let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Now, this evening, the Lord willing, I'll be preaching at Todd's Road Grace Church in Lexington. I covet your prayers for travel and preaching. You notice in the bulletin we've got an invitation to the wedding of Clara and Isaac, and we're very much looking forward to that. And also next Sunday evening, Moose Parks and his wife Sandy will be here, so I hope you all can come and hear him. We'll have a time of fellowship afterward. And I just heard this morning that Danny and Lorelai's niece, she just had a baby this week, and she's in very serious condition. They left part of the placenta in. She got a bad infection, and she's in serious condition. So let's remember her in prayer, and also Johnson, Sue's grandson. Last I have heard, he was still in that induced coma and in serious condition. So let's remember him in prayer. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read the first five verses. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you. They thought his physical presence was not much. He said, I'm a base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold. I won't have to be bold when I am present. But that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that our only thought is that the only obedience, the only hope we have, is the obedience of Christ. All right, let's stand together as Mike leads us in singing our call to worship.
The power which melts the rock be felt by all assembled here, or else our worship will but mock the God whom we profess to hear. Lord, hear thy people everywhere who meet to sing and pray. Through Christ's own blood the sinner spare, and let thy wrath be turned away. Oh, let my hands forget their skill, my tongue be silent, cold and still. This bounding heart forget to beat, but not forget thy mercy seat.
Thank you. Be seated. Let's turn now to page 53, number 53. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Dear name, the rock on which I build my my shepherd, brother, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart,
and
warm a spot, but when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death. Let's turn over now to 210.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Save, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, the angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, joint heir with the Son, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Save, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Save, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, he spake, and his will it was done. Great price of my pardon, his own precious Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified.
Back to 4, verse 4.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, all hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Good singing.
scripture reading will be taken from Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Joshua, the 6th chapter. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn, before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns, passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early in the morning, early about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, and vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. There was nothing stopping them. They didn't even have to curve. They straight before them. And they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said unto the 2 men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein. Only the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers with Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He will lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Thank God for his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we bow before you this morning, a thankful people. How could we not be thankful? How could our hearts not overflow with thanksgiving for all the mercy and grace you so freely bestowed upon your people in our Lord Jesus Christ? Father, we thank you for giving us this day where we can meet together with our brothers and sisters and to worship you, to open your word and to read it, to have your word preached to us, to be able to sing the songs of praise and thanksgiving to our God. Father, I pray that you would this morning give us a heart of worship, that you'd speak to us through your word and enable us to rejoice in Christ our Savior. Father, give us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause everything we heard here this morning to be mixed with faith, that we might leave here believing in, resting in, rejoicing in Christ our Savior. Let everything that we do here this morning be done to the praise and the exaltation of His great name, that name which is above every name. Father, we thank you for providing for us this place we can meet together and calling together this family of believers, that you've given us a place of worship, and you've given us an attitude of love one to another and peace. You've given us a heart as a congregation to seek the Lord, to preach His gospel, to glorify Him and edify and comfort His sheep. Father, I thank you. This is something supernatural that only you could do. And Father, I pray you'd preserve it, you protect it for many, many years to come, that this building might stand as a lighthouse of the gospel where poor sinners can come and hear of redemption and forgiveness in Christ our Savior. And Father, for those who you brought into the time of trouble, we pray for them. We pray for Danny and Lorelai's niece, that you'd be with her, that you'd strengthen and heal her and enable her to be a mother to this new baby. We pray for Sue's grandson, Johnson, that you'd move in a mighty way, Father, that you'd be with that family. And others who need you especially, Father, the sick and the brokenhearted, those you brought into the time of darkness and they can't seem to find a way out. Father, be with them. Provide a way out as soon as it could be your will. Cause us in all things to look to and to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not to rely upon the arm of the flesh. So weak and futile, cause us to look to and rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His precious name we pray and ask these blessings. Amen.
I'd like for you to sing the chorus of this song with me. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching. Glory.
have seen him in the watchfires of a hundred circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be slow, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on, glory, glory, alleluia.
Think of anything that we could give better than we could give our life to than dedicating ourselves to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that make men free. All right. If you would, first, look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 30. I titled the message this morning, "The Walls Came Tumbling Down." Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." Now, how is it that the walls of Jericho came down? Well, Scripture tells us by faith. By faith. Now, what did faith in God, had to do with those giant walls come tumbling down? Well, let's look back at the passage we read a few moments ago, Joshua chapter 6, and see if we can't find out. This morning, this is what I want us to see. How the walls of the hearts of God's elect come tumbling down when they're conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the answer is, those walls come tumbling down by faith. They come tumbling down. They're set free through the preaching of the gospel. God the Holy Spirit enables us to hear and to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jericho was a very large city, and it was surrounded by huge walls. It was actually surrounded by two walls. There was an outer wall and an inner wall. The outer wall was 6 feet thick, 30 feet high. The inner wall was 12 feet thick, 30 feet high. It had 12 feet thick. It had to be thick enough the houses would be in it. That's where Rahab's house was, in this wall, 12 feet thick, 30 feet high. The Jericho was a powerful, rich, and well-defended city. The first spies from Israel came, looked at that, said, "You can't see the top of those walls. We can't take this city." But they could, couldn't they? Because Almighty God had marked that city for destruction. You see, before the children of Israel could go into the promised land and enjoy the land that God had promised them and given them, Jericho's got to be conquered. Jericho's in the gateway to that land that God had promised them. Those walls had to come tumbling down before the land flowing with milk and honey could be enjoyed by God's people. And I'll tell you something else. Rahab had to come out of that city. She had to come out of that city. So those walls had to come tumbling down. But how's that going to be possible? They don't have any battering rams. They don't have, you know, modern weapons of warfare. How are those gigantic walls going to come tumbling down? It's by faith. That's what Scripture says, isn't it? And the walls of Jericho, these are a picture of our hard, stony hearts. The walls of unbelief and hatred of God, they are tall, thick walls. They've been there a long time. They're double walls. They're strongholds of sin and Satan. And before God's elect can enjoy the salvation that God has promised for them, Christ has purchased for them, those walls of sin and hatred and unbelief have got to come tumbling down. And the only way they'll be taken down is by God-given faith that He gives through the preaching of the gospel. See, it's pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I'd hope that there's someone here this morning that does not know Christ. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you don't know the Lord, you know it in your heart. You know it. I want to ask you a question. Does any part of you desire that God save you? Do you have any desire at all that God would save you? Well, if your answer to that question is yes, that you want God to give you faith in Christ, you want to believe this gospel, you can't, no matter how hard you try, you cannot make yourself believe it. Do you want God to give you faith in Christ to save your soul? Then I tell you what to do. I told you this before, I'm going to tell you again. Then you make it your business to be where the gospel is preached. To displease God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I feel you. I know what it feels like to try to make yourself believe. And you just can't. And one day, when God saves His people, you just think, I believe. I didn't have to make myself do it. I just suddenly found myself believing. You know what happened? God gave you faith. And you find yourself believing. Well, God's going to do that for you. He's going to do that for me. You know how He's going to do it? Through the preaching of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's how our walls, the walls of our heart, the walls of sin and unbelief and hatred, they come tumbling down through the preaching of the gospel. And that's what we see in picture in Joshua chapter 6. So my first point is this. Our walls of sin and unbelief and hatred, they're walls of our own making. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. Now, the people of Jericho had shut themselves in behind these walls. That word straitly means they shut themselves up. Nobody else did it to them. They shut themselves up. They never one time raised the white flag of surrender. They never one time opened those gates and sent out a delegation begging Israel for mercy. Now, we know they heard about the God of Israel. Rahab told those spies, "Oh, we heard about you. We heard about your God, what He did at the Red Sea, what He did to those kings, the Amorites. We heard about that." And the people feared. She said, we're full of fear because of you, because of your God. But they would not surrender. They're full of fear, but they would not beg for mercy. Now, that's their fault, isn't it? That's their own fault. But that didn't stop God, did it? And the same thing's true of our walls, of unbelief and hatred and sin. They're walls of our own making. And by nature, we'll never raise the flag, the white flag of surrender. Never. By nature, we will never come begging Christ for mercy. Never. By nature, we refuse to come to Christ. Our Lord told those Pharisees, you will not come unto me that you might have life. You refuse to do it. So these walls are walls of our own making. It's our own fault, isn't it? That's why nobody from this pulpit ever begs you to make a decision for Jesus. Never. We never try to talk you into a decision and into getting baptized, because this is what we know. You can't do it. And by nature, you won't do it. Those walls are walls of our own making, aren't they? But thankfully, that will never stop God's purpose of redemption for His people. And the reason for that is God has a people that He's chosen to save. And He's given those people to His Son to redeem. So that's my second point. God has an elect people who've been given to Christ, and He's going to have them. Verse 2, Joshua chapter 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now, I think you all know well that Joshua is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, a preeminent picture. They even share the same name. Joshua is the Old Testament name for the New Testament name Jesus. And the Lord told Joshua, see, you see this city? I've given it all to you. You're going to have it because I've given it to you. Now, God has an elect people. But those people, we just described their nature. By nature, they stubbornly hide behind their walls of unbelief and sin and hatred of God. And it looks like this is a hopeless situation. Those walls are tall, they're thick, they're well defended. But don't you ever fear. Don't you ever fear. Those people are going to be conquered. And they're going to be conquered because the Father has given those people into the hands of His Son in the covenant of grace. And He's going to have them. Christ is going to have them. Now, those people don't know it yet, but they will willingly one day submit to King Jesus because they've been given to Christ. Christ died for them. He purchased them. And He will have them for His own. They just don't know it yet. So somebody's got to tell them. And this is my third point. The means that God uses to give faith and the means that God uses to conquer unbelief and tear these walls down is the preaching of the gospel. Verse 3. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall send up every man straight before him. Now the Lord told Joshua, here's what we're going to do. Here's how you're going to conquer the city. You're not going to make catapults. You're not going to make battering rams and these kind of things. This is what you're going to do, Joshua. You're going to have a parade around this city. You're going to circle the city one time a day for 6 days. And while the people are circling the city, the priests are going to blow on these ram's horns. And the 7th day, you're going to walk around the city 7 times while the priests blow upon these ram's horns. And after 7 times you circle in that city, they're going to blow the ram's horns, one loud, long blast, and the people are going to shout. They're going to shout for victory. And those walls are going to fall down flat. You believe that? Do you believe that would happen? The only way you can believe that is by faith. And all of that is given to us as a picture of preaching the gospel. And that's what I want to spend the rest of my time on, this picture of preaching the gospel. It's so full of it. Now first, these ram's horns that they're to blow on is a picture of preaching the gospel. Now, ram's horns don't look like much. They're not a shiny, fancy trumpet with those valves and things you push with your fingers. They're just a ram died or whatever, however they got the horn, hollowed it out somehow. And it's just an old ram's horn, hollowed out, and they blow on it on one end. And it's just an old horn. I mean, and it is tough as nails. A ram's horn is so hard. It's probably got all kinds of scars on it from battles that it's been in, where those rams just ram into each other, battering one another. I mean, that thing just don't look like much. It's all battered and scraped up. And we think, now here, you know, we're coming into the promised land. We're going to take the first city in the promised land. Surely we want something that looks better than old ram's horn. Let's get us a shiny trumpet. Let's get us some people who are skilled at playing it, no? That's not the way God would have it, is it? Because God's not going to use things that are impressive to the flesh to tear down our walls of unbelief and sin and hatred. In the preaching of the gospel, God always uses plain, sinful men to preach the gospel. God uses sinful men. He reveals Christ to them. He gives them the message, but they're sinful men. They're men of the flesh. Their flesh so shows the scars of a lot of battles that they fought and lost. But God uses those men to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the glory will be the God we preach, not the man preaching it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why he uses just old ram's horns. And here's another thing about ram's horns. Ram's horns just play one note. They don't have valves you can make different sounds with. They just play one note. The priest would blow on that horn, and the only thing that would come out of it is one long, unchanging note. It's all the ram's horn's capable of producing. And don't you think that note got irritating to the people of Jericho? They just kept hearing this one note. It was so irritating, they'd think, don't those fellows know any other notes? Don't they have any other song to play? Isn't that what the flesh thinks about God's preacher? Doesn't he have any other notes? Doesn't he have any other subject other than Christ alone? This is getting irritating to me. Well, that one note may have been irritating to the people of Jericho, but there was somebody in that city that loved that note. To Rahab the harlot, that note was the sound of jubilee. Rahab heard that one note being blasted out by those priests as a sound of freedom. Freedom's coming. I'm going to be set free from this place. And that's the world. The world hates the gospel of Christ. But to the believer, that one note, that constant preaching of Christ alone, is the sound of jubilee. When God's people hear the preaching of Christ, they hear that one note as a sound of coming freedom. Freedom's coming. Freedom's coming. And a believer never gets tired of it. You can't, God's people, if you know Christ, if you know Him, you can't get tired of hearing about Him. You just can't get tired of hearing about Christ and Him crucified, because He's my righteousness before God. He's my sanctification. He's my redemption. Forgiveness and peace with God are in Him. Eternal life is all in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We just need to preach one note if we know Christ. That one note is the sound of jubilee to God's people. All right, number two, the priest blowing on those ram's horns, going before the ark. That's a picture of gospel preaching. And this parade, as the people were going around Jericho, the first thing the people saw were those priests blowing the horns. Right behind them came the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that's a picture of gospel preaching. That's how we first hear the gospel. See, first we hear it. First we hear that note. Maybe it's an irritating note to us. Maybe it's a good sounding note to us. But first we hear the note. And then we see Christ. Then we believe Him. First you hear the gospel. And then you see the ark. Then you believe Christ is pictured in this Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, you remember, was made out of incorruptible wood. It was a box. They just made a wooden box made out of incorruptible wood, and they covered it with gold. That's a picture of Christ, the two natures of Christ. He's the God-man. He's God and man in one body. And inside that box, they kept the law of God. The law couldn't be left in Moses' hands, could it? Now, he'll throw it down and break it in anger. But the law was kept by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments and those tablets, unbroken, in that Ark of the Covenant, showed us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only obedience to the law His people have. He kept the law for us. And that ark contained the pot of manna. In that ark, this manna, which is a picture of Christ, the bread of life for His people. Christ is our life. He's the giver of it. He's the sustainer of it. He is our life. That's what the manna pictured. And then that ark contained Aaron's rod that budded. And that was a picture that Aaron was God's appointed high priest for His nation. Well, that being put in that ark showed us that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's appointed priest. And that tells us you and I can only come to God through this priest, this one man, the priest. We know the only mediator between God and man is the man, Christ Jesus. He's God's appointed priest. And the only way we can come to God and be accepted is through Him. Now, that's what that picture. But the only way we'll ever see that, the only way we'll ever believe that, the only way we could ever possibly believe that all I need in salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way I can ever believe that Christ is all, is if somebody dares blows the ram's horn and tells me, preaches the gospel and tells me, Christ is all. See, first I've got to hear, don't I? And then God enables me to see Christ. We can't believe on Him who we've not heard. So somebody's got to tell us. And the gospel's preached. And then we see Christ. Because that's how God's pleased to reveal Himself. All right, third, the gospel is to be faithfully preached. Faithfully. Now you think about, you know, we think about how the people of Jericho felt while this was going on. Think about how the children of Israel felt. They go around that city, circling the city, blowing those ram's horns, and they come back to camp that night. There they are. They run the campfires, you know. They've done this for 6 days. They've done this. Those walls didn't show one sign of bowing. Not one stone fell out of them. There wasn't one crack in those walls. But they kept marching, and they kept blowing the ram's horns. And do you reckon, as they're sitting around that campfire at night, that somebody said, boys, it's not working. I mean, do you see any sign these walls giving way? Tell you what, I know what Joshua's doing, but I tell you what we better do. We better get us some ladders and some ropes, because we're going to have to climb them walls and get in. That's the only way we're getting in that city. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of us preaching the gospel. And then thinking, now, boys, I don't see any results going on here. I don't even see any cracks. And nothing, I don't even see anything starting. We better change our results so we can start getting us some, or methods, so we can start getting us some results. We're going to have to do something. I mean, what we're doing is not working. So we're going to have to do something than just plain old preaching. Because plain preaching, plain unvarnished preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ is not getting anybody's attention, so we better change our methods. Stop right there. The walls are coming down by faith. And this is what I know about faith. Faith perseveres. Faith keeps preaching the gospel no matter what. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. My faith will not stop preaching the gospel, will not stop sounding this one note. And by faith we won't compromise the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. In every season, preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's what they're going to do. But Timothy, you watch in all things. Endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Timothy, keep preaching. Even when you're not getting results. Even when people turn to fables. Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. Well, how are you going to do that? By faith. By faithfully preaching the gospel. Just keep preaching the word and leave the results to God. Because faith also knows this, God's word will not return unto him void. This word is the only note we need. Just preach the word. And if you look back in our text, Joshua chapter 6, Joshua tells us something here. Don't add your two cents to it. Don't try to add human efforts. Don't try to add human psychology to it. Don't do something to make it look better to men or make it easier for the flesh to swallow. Just preach the word and be quiet and leave sinners alone with God. This is between the sinner and God. Verse 10, Joshua chapter 6. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. And then you shall shout. Until then, you just keep silent. Don't try to do something to make the preaching of the word effective. Don't try to add something to make the blowing of the ram's horns effective. Just blow the ram's horns and hold your peace. And leave sinners alone with God. Just keep sounding that one note from the ram's horns. And play it loud and clear. Play it so nobody can mistake what you're saying. Don't sound an uncertain sound. Don't preach where people think, well, I wonder what he means by that. You know, he could mean this or he could mean this, and so I don't really know what he believes. You know, I don't know. I don't know whether I should be mad at him or happy with him. I don't know what he's saying. Sounded good, but I don't know what he's saying. Don't preach like that. Don't preach the gospel in such a way that an unbeliever can find peace in it. Don't do that. That's not fair to them. Is it? To preach in such a way we give an unbeliever peace? That they have peace outside of Christ? That's not fair to them. It's not honoring to God either. And don't preach the gospel so that God's people are left with doubts and fears. That makes me so angry. I mean, it just makes me angry. Don't preach so God's poor children are left with doubts and fears. Don't use the law to beat them up. Don't give them rules and regulations they gotta keep. Just preach Christ. So they leave with confidence in Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 6. Preach so somebody knows what you're saying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. How am I going to profit you in any way if I'm saying something you can't understand? I mean, you might be impressed if I'm speaking in tongues. You might be impressed if I'm using all this religious, you know, big words. You don't know what they mean, but it sure sounds impressive. But you're not going to be blessed by it. You think that's a miracle, but you won't be blessed by it unless you're pointed to Christ. The only way we can be blessed and pointed to Christ is if God's preacher preaches a sound note, a clear note we can understand. So we're pointed to Christ. Sound the certain note of Christ and Christ alone so that sinners know if I'm going to have salvation, I got to go to Him. If I'm going to have forgiveness of my sin, if I'm going to have life, I got to go to Him. I got to trust Him. Sound a certain note so God's people find their joy and their salvation and their confidence and their comfort in Christ. Look down at verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If you sound an uncertain sound, how are people going to know? It's in Christ alone. Not me plus Him, but Him alone. Make the gospel unmistakable. It's all Christ. I look back at Joshua chapter 6. And while you're doing that, while you're sounding this certain note, don't use anything from false religion to try to help you. Verse 17, Joshua chapter 6. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers which we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it. See, don't use the methods of this world. Don't use the methods of false religion to try to get people to do something. It'll be a curse to you. It'll be a curse. Don't take their money. Don't they try to help you in any way. You just trust the Lord to provide. God don't need it. Just trust Him to provide. All we're to take is what's consecrated to the Lord, verse 19. And all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Rahab the harlot was a precious stone to our Lord. She's consecrated to Him. Take her. Take her. The only means God will ever use to save His people is the preaching of the Word. He'll never use a lie. He'll never use man's methods. He'll only ever use the unvarnished preaching of His Word. Then let's faithfully preach it. The gospel is to be faithfully, continually preached. All right, here's the fourth thing. The walls will come tumbling down, and God's people will be saved. They will. And I can tell you when. At God's appointed time. Seven trumpets were blown for 6 days. And on the seventh day, those seven trumpets were blown seven times. Well, seven in Scripture is the number of perfection. The day of perfection is God's appointed time. At that time, His people will hear with the ear of faith. And their walls of sin and unbelief and hatred are going to come tumbling down. And somebody might wonder, well, how many times do I have to hear the gospel before I believe? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. If you're going to hear, it's going to be at God's appointed time. We won't always hear the first time. Matter of fact, we seldom will. But we will hear at God's appointed time. And that gives us confidence, doesn't it? We bring our children to hear the gospel. We invite the lost, our friends, our family to hear the gospel. And we do it with this confidence. Not thinking, well, I'm wasting my time. You're not wasting your time. Do it with this confidence. The Lord will save His people. He will. And He's going to reveal Himself to them through the preaching of the gospel. Then, brethren, let's faithfully preach Christ and wait on Him to provide the results. Because He will in His time. All right, here's the fifth thing about preaching the gospel. Every member of Israel had a part in this preaching of the gospel. Verse 9 says this. The armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and their reward came after the ark. The priest blowing on, or going on, blowing with the trumpets. The re-reward there is the gathering host. That's what the word means. The re-reward is all the people of Israel. The gathering host gathered behind that ark of the covenant. And they all marched. And their presence mattered. It didn't matter they weren't blowing the trumpets. It didn't matter they weren't carrying the ark. It didn't matter they weren't shouting. Their presence mattered. Everybody, religious people at any rate, seems like they all want to be seen as loving. I love everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I love everybody. And I weary of that. I'm just telling you, I weary of that. People saying, I love you, when they don't show it by their actions. Now, if you want to be loving, hopefully God's people do. They don't want to be loving. If you want to be loving, you want to show your love for God and show your love for His people, tell you what you do. Show up. Show up. Isn't that true just in our family life? You want to be a good family member? Show up. Show up. Isaac, I'll give you some premarital advice. When you get married and you go to work and you do whatever you got to do, tell you what to do. Show Claire you love her. Show up. Come on. Show up. Show up. The daily grind of raising children and raising a family is just that, a daily grind, isn't it? You want to show them you love them? Show up. Be there for it. Be there for the special times, too. Don't miss them. Show up. You see, everybody sees that for your family, right? Well, the same thing's true in the family of God. If you want to show your love for God, your respect for Him, your love for God's people, tell you what you do, you show up. You show up to the worship service. You show up when something needs to be done. That shows your love for God. That shows your love for your brethren by encouraging them that you're faithful to be here. I tell you this, your presence here matters a whole lot to me. I need you. It encourages me. Don't ever think that you don't matter. No child of God, no member of God's church can ever think, well, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter if I'm there. Yes, it does. What if the people of Israel felt that way? And they said, it don't matter if I'm there. I'm not blowing the horns. I'm not carrying the ark. It don't matter if I'm there. I'm just going to stay here in my tent. Well, I'll tell you what would have happened. The walls of Jericho would still be standing up, wouldn't they? Every member of God's church has something to do in God's service. And I tell you, do it faithfully. And I don't know what it is God's given you to do. But I tell you, an awful good place to start. Show up. You can't do anything if you don't show up. Just show up. All right, here's the sixth thing. The preaching of the gospel. We preach knowing that the salvation of a sinner is a supernatural work of God. Here they're marching around Jericho, and right at the appointed time, just when God said they would, those walls fell flat. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. There were no obstacles. He didn't have to work his way around any obstacle. They just went straight before him into the city. And they took the city. Now, those walls falling down were a supernatural event. Something God did. There's no other explanation for that. The walls fell down flat by faith. By faith. Those walls of the city couldn't have fallen down any other way, could they? Because God commanded people march around the city, blowing the horns, carrying the Ark of the Covenant and following along behind the Ark. It couldn't have fallen any other way because that was God's commandment. And the people marched around that city blowing those ram's horns, carrying the Ark of the Covenant because they believed God. See, faith acts. Well, the salvation of a sinner is the same way. It's a supernatural event. Something only God could do. And He does it through faith. Somebody preach the gospel because they believed God. They might not have thought they were seeing any results at first, but they kept preaching the gospel because they believed God. And at the appointed time, God the Holy Spirit gave life to one of God's elect. See, faith always sees the victory. Always. And it comes to the preaching of the gospel. All right, here's the seventh thing. The gospel declares salvation and judgment. The walls came tumbling down, and everyone, without exception, who would not surrender was killed. Verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Now, this is very sobering. This matter of believing Christ is a matter of life and death. We're not playing games here. This is a matter of life and death. So since it's a matter of life and death, let's not play at preaching. And let's not play at hearing it. Let's not play with this thing and try to gain a following for ourselves at the expense of the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Let's just preach the gospel honestly. Don't hold something back you think would be offensive to the flesh. Preach the gospel honestly. Just preach, thus saith the Lord.
Because that's what's best for everybody to hear, what God says. It's best for people to know Christ. Then let's preach Him. I don't really care what anybody thinks of me. I'm going to like for y'all to like me. But I don't really care what somebody thinks about me in my preaching. This is what I care about. Do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? It's the worst thing I could think of, that you wouldn't know Christ because I didn't dare preach it. The worst thing I could think of. The gospel declares judgment. And everybody who does not surrender and bow to Christ is going to be destroyed. But thankfully, the gospel also declares salvation. Everybody, without exception, who believed God was saved alive. Verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. Rahab was saved alive, just exactly like God promised. Rahab believed God. She had God-given faith. You know how I know she believed God? She took that scarlet line the spies gave her and hung it in the window, identifying with the people of Israel. Everybody who believed God was saved alive by that city. And everybody who was under the blood was saved alive by that city. And they were the same person. Everybody who believes God is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that scarlet line represents. They're all saved alive because the blood of Christ has washed them white as snow. And God the Holy Spirit will give everybody under the blood, everyone for whom Christ shed His precious blood, He's going to give every last one of them faith in Christ. And they'll be saved alive. And then here's the last thing about preaching the gospel. Joshua got all the glory. Verse 27, so the Lord was with Joshua, and His fame was noised throughout all the country. The gospel gives the Lord Jesus Christ all the glory. Faith gives Christ all the glory. That's why if your spirit bears witness with my spirit, you're blessed by the message. It's because faith gives Christ all the glory. And if the gospel you hear gives you any credit for any part of salvation, my friend, it's not the gospel. It's just not. And you get away from it, or you're going to be damned for believing a lie. But if the gospel you hear gives Christ all the credit, it gives Him all the glory for doing all the work of salvation by Himself without any help from you, without any input from you, then that's the gospel, because it gives Him all the glory. And you believe it. And you pray. If you can't believe it, if you don't believe it, you pray and ask God to give you the gift of faith that you might believe it. And when He does, this is what you're going to find. The walls of your sin and your unbelief and your hatred of God all came tumbling down by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those walls came tumbling down when by faith you saw the mighty conqueror and you just believed. And you could not believe any more than those walls could stay standing up. You could not believe by faith, God-given faith. All right, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this passage that so clearly proclaims salvation in Christ and Christ alone, through faith in Him, not by our works, but by faith. Father, how we thank You for giving this precious gift of faith in Your Son to Your people, causing us to see Him, believe Him, that He is all I need. Father, give us this faith. Give us this faith right now, at this moment. Let each soul here this morning leave believing in, trusting in, and resting in Christ our Savior. Tear down our walls of strongholds of sin and unbelief and hatred, and cause us to see and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in His precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Let's stand and sing 496. We'll just sing the first two verses. 496.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Second as the benediction, I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory.